Hey, this is Molly, and you're listening to the Clean Food Dirty Girl podcast. So if you've been in our community for a little bit, then you've heard me talk about my sister, Kirsty, who is, she's 17 years older than me. I love her to bits, and she is battling stage 4 metastatic breast cancer. And I've put together a couple of GoFundMe fundraisers for her over the years, just because she's needed some extra help, as so many of us do. And so many people in this community they just stepped up and helped and made donations, and not only donations, but just good, you know, sweet, kind messages. And it has meant so much to her over the years and to the whole family, really. And so I went to visit, I just got back last week from Idaho, and I stayed with her for a week to visit. And we had a really great trip, or we had a really great visit. I had a great trip. We had a great visit. And, I had asked her to write kind of an update so that I could send it in one of my Saturday love letters. And that's where, if you all want like the inside scoop and updates, not just about plant-based things, but about all the life stuff, you got to sign up for my weekly Saturday love letters. I'll put the link in the bio. But I wanted her to write a little something so that I could update people, you know, because when you are invested in somebody's story and you even go as so far as to make a donation and send good wishes, it's always nice to get an update. So I had asked her to do that, and she has been really struggling for the past few months. And so I thought, you know, why don't, if she, I text her before I left, I sent her a voice message or a voice memo. And I said, hey, how would you feel about coming on the podcast when I'm there so that we can talk to the dirties and we can just chat and you can tell them thank you kind of in person and for yourself. They can hear your voice and all of this. And she said, yes, I'm up for it. So that was great. And it was just easier for her to do that than it was to write, I think. And she wasn't doing very well before I got there. She had had a really hard couple of months, and she was in excruciating pain. And the day before I got there, actually, her oncologist had given her a new pain plan, basically new pain treatment, and it actually worked, and it has been giving her a lot of relief. And it means that it's the difference between her staying in bed all the time and her being able to get up and do stuff. And we did do stuff. We went to the lake. We went to Spokane to see my niece perform. We went to go out to eat with my niece and her boyfriend in Spokane. We visited with her grandkids, my nephew's kids, and we did things. We even went to the thrift store one day, went grocery shopping, went out to eat a couple of times. So it was a very nice visit, and I was very thankful, and I was really happy for her that her pain is, you know, not gone, of course, but being managed in a way where she can, you know, live her life. So it was a great visit. And it was a great talk. I had a really good talk with her for this episode, and it was really important for me to have her on so that she could thank you, because it's meant so, so much. And so that's what we did. And I just want to say, we talk about Kirsty's specific, I mean, we don't get into it too much, but she talks about the treatment that she has gone through. And I just want to say, you know, I don't believe that there is one right way to go forward with the cancer diagnosis. I think that it's up to the person going through it. And so I just wanted to put that out there as well, you know, in case you are somebody who recently got a diagnosis and you are treating it in a different way than other people are. I just want to acknowledge you. And I think that it's such a personal decision, and I have respect for however anybody chooses to go about it. So I just wanted to mention that too before we get started. So without further ado, here is Kirsty and me. We're talking. We're just on the mic talking. Enjoy the episode. Hey there, welcome to today's episode. Thank you for joining. So today I have a guest on, and I'm talking with my sister, Kirsty. And a lot of you know her from the community. Kirsty has been fighting metastatic breast cancer recurrence since 2018. And she's been part of this community, and she loves our community. And I've done a couple of GoFundMe fundraisers for her, and so many of you have very generously donated. And so I am in Idaho right now in her apartment as we're talking. And so I thought it would be nice while I'm here to talk with her and have her on the podcast as just a little thank you and just an opportunity for you guys to hear her voice since you've heard so much about her. So thank you for being here. Hello, sister.
Hello, sister. I am Kirsty. I am Molly's oldest sister. I'm the oldest sister of three. And my sister Molly is here with me for a week, helping out, hanging out, having good conversation, having good meals. My heart is filled with such gratitude for all of your donations for the past two GoFundMe sites that Molly has put up. Thank you so very much. That money that you have donated has helped me maintain a normal life with my car payment, with my electric bill, with my insurance, with my groceries. It's made all the difference. And for that, I am very, very thankful, Dirties, and thankful, Molly.
Oh, yeah. And I have to say, you know, every time we've done this, there's been people who have donated. I mean, there's been people who've donated all ranges, right? There's some of you who donate $5. And when I see those, you know, the $5 and $10 donations, those all add up, and it means so much. I mean, all of your donations mean so much. I mean, from the $5 to the $100 to the $200, I mean, it all just is so heartwarming to see. And I would say it's not even just about the money as well. It's about seeing people rally when a stranger needs a little boost. And it's really, to me, it really warms my heart and makes me love people.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. And it's not just about the money. It's about a real human being, me, dealing with a disease right now that is stage 4 metastatic, which is not curable. And the fact that a community of strangers are not only donating funds, but I always get response on the GoFundMe site regarding the way that you are thinking about me. You are sending me good thoughts. You are sending me love and light. You are praying for me. And that is something that literally keeps me going.
Yeah. Yeah. So do you want to talk a little bit about your particular diagnosis?
Oh, absolutely. When I turned 40 in 2004, I scheduled my very first mammogram. I was living outside of Denver. That's where I'm from, is Denver. And I went in to get my mammogram, and I walked out with breast cancer. The tumor itself was only as big as my pinky nail, but the fact that it had spread to 10 of 15 lymph nodes made for a tricky diagnosis and a very harsh treatment. I went through 6 months of chemotherapy, I went through 6 weeks of radiation therapy. I took hormone therapy, one hormonal therapy for 5 years, a second hormonal therapy for 5 years, and I was cancer-free, clinically cancer-free for 15 years until August of 2018, where I had experienced pain in my abdomen. And pain is not normal. A lot of us live with aches and pains, especially as we get older. But I'll tell you, severe pain is not normal. So I went to the emergency room a few times, and finally they did inform me that I had metastatic stage 4 breast cancer that had spread to my bones and also to my soft tissue organs. So that's where I'm at today with my diagnosis.
Okay, and how are you today?
Today, I am doing well, first of all, because my sister is here. That makes me the happiest. And as far as my pain level goes, my oncologist has just recently, in the past 2 weeks, we have figured out a new pain management plan that is actually working. So I am doing things. I am up and I'm not in the bed all day. I'm not in pain all day. Today, I've had a nice appetite and I'm having a good day today.
Yes, and I updated the group, and also I send little updates in my Saturday emails as well, because you had had a few times that you were in the hospital with a fever and in really, really severe pain. But I got here last week, and my other sister had been here, and mom and dad had been here, and it looked different than my trip here. So I was talking to our other sister yesterday, and I was like, well, it's great. We've been to the lake. We went to Spokane to see my niece, Kirstie's daughter, perform. We've been having meals. We've been visiting with her grandkids, who are adorable. I'm like, it's like a little vacation for me. So it's, I think one thing that I've learned throughout this whole process is it is a process, and there have been many, many ups and downs and moments of being really scared and moments of, you know, not wondering what quite happens next. And then moments of like, okay, it's okay. And so it's like, you never, I don't know, it's not linear, I guess. And I think, you know, maybe before this process happened, I thought of somebody as they have cancer and then they get sick and then some of them eventually die. But that's very, you know, I mean, that's a very black and white way to think of it. And as we've gone through this process, there's many, many stages in, you know, from when you were first diagnosed to the second time to now. And I can say that it's been a great trip. And I'm so happy to see you out of as much pain. And I think, like, even though you're out of as much pain as you were, there's still pain. But it's manageable.
Yes, it is manageable, finally. And Molly just brought up the part about the fear and being scared with cancer. And I won't lie, cancer is a very, very scary, lonely business. I can have company all day long and have a great day and eat and go to the lake and take my medication and drink my water. Yet when I go to bed at night, at the end of the day, I am alone with my cancer. And Dirties, that's where you come in. That's where I can close my eyes and tap in to a whole flowing river of strangers and people I know that are carrying me along on their thoughts, wishes, prayers, and love. And that is what I literally count on to get through my nights. I'm not always able to go to that place when it's especially hard, but it's a place that I very actively and very consistently try to go to know that, no, you're not alone right now either. There are people out there that have you on their mind.
Yeah, that's so important to hear. Because we might, you know, I certainly, when I hear of somebody who's having a hard time, or I hear of a friend who's maybe their mom is going through something, and I maybe have never met the mom, but sure enough, I'm going to send love. And I always say, you know, sending love, and I always do, and that matters. It really matters, I think, more than we sometimes realize to the person going through the thing.
Yes, and all of you dirties out there, the statistic says that 1 out of 7 women will be diagnosed with breast cancer in her lifetime. For men, it's only 1%, but it does happen with men as well. But 1 out of 7 of us will face this. And I will tell you, I will just throw a number out there. Probably 80% of us have been affected by cancer in one way or another. My sister has cancer. My mom has cancer. My best friend has cancer. You know, my dad has prostate cancer. Everyone is touched by this.
You personally, she's not saying that her dad has cancer or I have cancer, but just from what you've heard.
Well, what I'm saying is that probably 80% of the dirties out there have been touched by cancer in some way. Yeah. Whether their sister has been diagnosed, their mother, their father, right, their brother, that cancer touches everyone. It's not something that's so far out of reach that it doesn't affect you, and it doesn't affect only people that are other people. It affects everybody, and we all have our time when we go through it, either as a support person, as a patient.
So I'm just curious, like, because there are so many people out there who do have cancer, and I hear about it. I mean, we get people, because I've also, you know, written blogs about you and about sort of ways that, you know, we can support people who, not just people with cancer, but who are sick, ways to support them as a caregiver and stuff like that. But, you know, I hear from so many of you who are going through it, either like yourself, you know, or somebody close to you who you love. So I'm just curious, if somebody is listening to this podcast right now and they were just diagnosed with cancer, is there something that you would like to share with them?
Oh, absolutely. Whether you've been just recently diagnosed with breast cancer or other cancers, just know, and I mean this from the bottom of my heart, speaking as next year a 20-year cancer survivor and speaking as someone that's in the thick of it now, I can promise you, you are going to be okay. You are going to be all right. It does not feel like it now. Now is the end of the world. Now, right this minute, your family's crumbling. Your spouses, your partners, your children, your siblings, your parents, your friends, everyone is wondering what they can do to help you. And as far as you're concerned, follow the directions of your oncologist. Find a good oncologist. If you don't like your oncologist, or if there's something rubbing you wrong with your radiologist, or all the way down to your phlebotomist, to the people that are doing your scans and reading them and delivering results and then taking action, if there's something that you're not excited about, change your provider. Change your doctor within your provider's office. You do not have to settle and follow blindly. You must be an advocate. And if you're not sure about your cancer and you're confused about your cancer, when you can, find books, join your support group. The beauty about the cancer survivor support groups are they are in every single community, and you can call your local hospital, you can call social services, the social workers in your hospital, and they will direct you to a cancer support group where you for sure know that you're not alone. make sure that you grab onto the resources you can. In my experience, the more I've learned about this disease that I carry with me and that I am battling hard right now, the easier it has been for me to notice that no, I'm not alone. There are people out there just waiting to step into my circle, to be on my side, and to help me.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, that's beautiful. And that's really, and that's coming from somebody who has been through it, you know, because nobody else can say that who hasn't been through this, because we don't know. We're not in your shoes. So can you speak now to the people who aren't in your shoes, and for maybe the people who are a sibling, a parent, a caregiver, a child, an aunt, and can you just speak to them? Is there anything that might be helpful for them to hear, or that would be helpful for them to know coming from you?
Yes. If you have a friend or relative that has recently been diagnosed, even if you've never really had these kind of conversations before, ask that person what they need. Ask what they need. What can I do for you? I will do anything for you. What do you need help with? What do you want to talk about? How can I hold you? How can I be here for you? And this is hard. This is not easy. This is very difficult, because some cancer patients say, oh, I'm fine. I really don't need much right now. And others just fall into a heap of tears saying, please just hold me while I cry. Talk about being alone. As a caregiver, a sibling, a parent, a child of someone that has someone in their family that has recently been diagnosed with cancer, talk about feeling alone. Well, the good news is you're not. There are support groups for you. There are plenty of community events right where you live, whether it's through the American Cancer Society, whether it's a Susan B. Komen event. There are walks, there are fundraisers, there are parties, there are pink parties. Get involved with that. Go volunteer. Go volunteer and get involved in the decorating of one of those events. It doesn't cost you anything, and you know that you are helping a large community of people get funds for research, because without the research, there's no treatment. So if you feel helpless at the moment, go get involved with your community, work on research, work on being there for the person that's been diagnosed, be a sounding board, help them get the information they need to fight.
Yeah, and being a sibling and, you know, somebody who's in my situation, I will say, like, you're never going to get it totally right all the time. You know, there's certainly times when I haven't gotten it right, and that it's like, okay, well, that wasn't the right thing to say, or that wasn't the right thing to do, or that's not, you know, what she needed right now. And there's been times when I have gotten it right, you know, but I will say, like, we don't always know. And it's okay if you get it wrong sometimes, because your person will let you know. And then you can course correct and just learn from it and go on. But don't be afraid to put yourself out there and just to do the best you can, you know, and just so that you can be there for that person, even if you do maybe say a thing that wasn't appreciated or that wasn't received well at the time. It's still important that you show up and you try again. And whether that's in person, whether that's on the phone or the computer or wherever you are, you know, I don't live in the same state and I don't see my sister that often, but we do have phone calls and, you know, we message each other a lot, but I certainly haven't gotten it right all the time, that's for sure. So for anybody who is a spouse or a spouse, you know, somebody who is a family member or close friend to somebody who's going through this, give yourself some grace as well, and just know that you'll find your way with it.
And you will. And I'm telling you, the cool thing about what Molly just said is, you know, she just shared that she feels like sometimes she didn't get it right or say the right thing. Well, guess what? The person in your life that's been diagnosed with cancer doesn't get it right either. We're learning together. Do not beat yourself up for feeling that you didn't do everything just perfect. There's no perfection in cancer. There's no perfection in disease. We are all on this ride together, doing our very best, learning from each other. Do not carry guilt. And I know that's a tough one. Do not carry disappointment. Do not carry regret. Just do that. It's like Molly said, just do the best you can every day. I can hardly do the best I can every day, but that is my goal. I want to fight every day. I want to keep a positive attitude every day. I want to be someone's support every day and my own, but sometimes I'm not. Sometimes I simply can't, and sometimes you simply can't either.
Yeah. Yeah. And we all have to give ourselves grace and love throughout this process, that's for sure. Can you tell me what you currently have in your fridge that you're eating every day since I've been here?
Well, dirties, you all know our mom, Pamela Patrick. Now, let me just break it down for you.
Oh, boy.
When mom was here, when mom and dad came to see me for, it could have been a month, it could have been two, I'm not sure. But when mom came, she makes this dish that I love. It is, well, it just happens to be the coconut pineapple curry. Clean food, dirty girl, tried and true, tested and tasty. And it happens to be one of my very, very, very favorite recipes. Mom prepares it in a giant pan. And so then I eat it every day till it's all gone because it's so heavenly. So as soon as Molly got here, she says, well, what would you like me to make for you for the week that I'm here? You know, I'll make whatever you want from the recipes, from the files. I said, well, you know, what I really need to have is the tofu coconut curry over rice. Now, Molly eats hers with the gluten-free rice noodles, which was also very delicious, but I like mine with the brown rice, I think, best. So she made a giant pot. There's jars after jars for days, and I've literally been eating that particular recipe made with love, and I have been just in heaven. As a matter of fact, dirties, to tell you the truth, as soon as we finish this podcast, I am going to ask Molly to warm up a nice big bowl, probably my 10th bowl of curry, yes.
I'm kind of sick of it at this point, but the funny thing is about this curry, and we do have, I'm going to link to the recipe in the show notes, because we do have, I think there's one on the blog, but there's definitely one in the Plant Fueled Life portal. But the funny thing is that I came up with a version of this recipe like years and years and years ago, like even before Clean Food Dirty Girl. And I think it was like in the first self-published cookbook that we had. But anyways, my mom like loved it, but she, over the years, she has adapted it to kind of put her little spin on it. And so when I was coming here, I said, well, Kirstie told me that she wanted your curry. And so let me just like, I need to make sure that I know how to do it. And I'm thinking, this was like my recipe, but yet now I'm having mom give me the recipe. But she's like, yes, I do everything the same, but I put the shallot and the onion and the garlic in the blender and then the coconut milk, and I add a couple of tablespoons of peanut butter to it. So that's her secret ingredient. And I thought, well, perfect. This is good because it's going to be very calorie dense, which is good because we're on the goal to have Kirstie gain some weight, to put on any pounds that she can. So I'm like, yes, good. Eat the coconut milk and the peanut butter and all that. But it did turn out pretty good. But is it as good as mom's?
Now, wait a minute. Mumsy darling, I know you're listening to this, but, you know, honestly, there's nothing like mom's curry. You know, yours is amazing. I sure would not be on bowl 10.
That's true.
I would not be on bowl 10. But
the answer is no. It's not as good as mom's. But, you know, I get it. Sometimes there's just, we all have our specialties, and that just happens to be one of mom's.
Well, my sister wanted to add broccoli to this. See, now, why would she do that? Because then it just turns into a broccoli soup.
Why wouldn't I add broccoli to it?
Because it turns into a broccoli soup.
Not if there's curry
and there was some kind of a mushroom discussion. No. I want the organic carrots. I want the organic cabbage, the organic cauliflower, the organic tofu, the organic curry, onion, shallot, garlic. Now see, and the organic
peanut
coconut
butter.
Milk.
And
the peanut butter. And just light on the pineapple. It's just got to be the way mom does it. But I have to say, you really did hit the nail on the head.
Almost.
So close, Dirties.
Almost. Yes. It's good. Yeah. I'm not going to have any of that for lunch. I already had lunch, and I had hummus tacos because I was like, I'm not eating any more of that curry. I'm good. So... yeah, well, this has been good. I mean, I think I really wanted you on here because you've been, you know, like you've been in our group so, you know, forever since we started it. And I know that you're always checking in to see what the Jerdies are doing. And then sometimes she'll text me and she'll be like, ooh, did you see that drama in the group this morning? Ooh, did you see that Sandrina had to put the smack down? You know, like, so it's, she's very involved. And
I creep along.
Yeah, she watches. She knows what everybody is doing.
Sure do.
And so it's a very familiar community. And I know for people who have been with us for a long time, you've certainly heard about her for a long time. So I thought what a good opportunity to introduce you to her and also just to have her come on and talk a little bit about this, because I know that this is a struggle that, yeah, I mean, so many people have, most people have, really. Okay. I know one other thing I've learned from you is the importance of having a pet during this process. So can you talk a little bit about your disco dog?
I'll talk about my dog, my disco dog, and hopefully we can post a little picture of Disco. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, Disco dog is a Chiweenie dog, half wiener and then half chihuahua. And Disco has just celebrated his third birthday, and he is the most darling little creature. I got him when he was one day shy of 7 weeks old, and this little dog is by my side 24/7. If I'm in the room with the heating pad across my abdomen, there's my little dog. If I'm out here in the living room, here's my little dog. And he has just been the sweetest little caregiving dog. I don't know how I'd make it without my disco dog. However, since my sister's been here, I feel like I've lost a little part of my dog. He has really taken to both my sisters, but with Molly, he's taking to flopping on her, which has made me a little bit jealous.
Yes.
He's a very happy little hound, and no, I just could not survive without my disco dog. So if you have a pet, oh man, love them up. Let them lick your tears. Tell them when you're having a bad day. Tell them about your cancer. Tell them when you're having a great day, and you will feel at ease, and you will feel better, and you will not feel so alone.
Yes, and I will say, yeah, Disco Dog is a very sweet dog who loves me very much. Mm-hmm. I mean, he loves you too, obviously, but I can't, I mean, the amount of times we've had, you know, I've had like a WhatsApp call with you or a video call, and you'll be crying, and then here comes Disco up on her lap, up in her face, and just literally licking her tears, just licking the tears from her face until they're all gone. Like, I just see that, and it just is the sweetest, like, most, just, I've never seen anything like that.
Well, Molly, I can't get anybody else to do that.
Yeah, no, I'm not going to lick your tears. I'll listen to you, but I'm not going to lick your tears, no. No, and I don't know that all dogs would do that. I mean, that's a pretty special hound.
I agree. I'm grateful. I'm grateful for everybody, the people that lick my tears, the people that pray for me, the people that come to visit me, the people that are listening to us right now. Absolutely.
So I'm curious, you know, I think that, and you and I have talked about this a little bit over the years, and I imagine it's kind of different for everybody going through this, but, you know, I think that one thing when somebody is going through this and facing this, and especially something like a stage 4 diagnosis. What is your take on, like, are there things that you don't want to talk about? Are there things that you don't want to be asked, that you don't want to talk about? And, like, you know, from your family, I would say, or from the people who are closest with you. And has that changed over the years?
Well, here's the dilemma. Anyone that's had a cancer diagnosis happen in their family, whether it's your mom, your sister, your spouse, your partner, your friend, sometimes we don't know what to say. Oh man, what do I say to this person that's just been diagnosed or re-diagnosed with a metastatic cancer? Well, I'll tell you, you might not know what to say, but coming from my point of view, just say something. Just say anything. It doesn't have to be that way. And I know that comes from fear, because we don't want to get it wrong. We want to get it right. But for the person that's just been diagnosed, anything sounds good. Hi, how are you? What did you have for breakfast? What is your dog doing? How do you feel? Are you in pain? Do you need a ride? Do you need groceries? Just say anything. Don't disappear. We need all the support we can get right now. And as far as my family, you know, when I was diagnosed in 2004, 2005 at 40, I knew for sure I was going to die. Positive. For first diagnosis, oh man, I felt like this was it. I got cancer. I was going to die. This time around, when I was diagnosed with the recurrence, I'm not even sure if I cried that much that first night. It doesn't seem like I did. I know I was upset, but it's so strange. It's like now I probably am going to die, but now I'm not crying about it as much. I used to cry every day. I cried for a whole year in 2004, 2005. The only time I cry now, I think, with cancer is when I'm in pain. So, family, don't be scared to talk to me about death or what's happening to me. And if I don't feel like talking about it, you'll know it, because I'll say, I can't even deal with that right now. But sometimes I do want, and I especially want to know how you're feeling. I really want to know how you feel about me in this situation, because then it's not me being some victim down here and some sad story. When we're all in it together, then we can share our sorrow and share what we feel like. It's better to share. And in order to share, we pretty much need to be on the same page. So don't be afraid to express yourself or to cry to me that you're scared. It's all good. And I'm saying that it's all good. It's not all good for everybody, but the question was how it may have changed for me, and that's how it changed for me. It's all good. If you want to talk about what's pending or possibility of pending or maybe not pending, you know, go for it.
Yeah, and I think that everybody, you know, everybody is different. It's like everybody, so I think that if you're dealing with if you're communicating and going through this with somebody, you know, I would say they'll let you know, whether or not it's the direction that they want to take a conversation or not. But one thing that I have learned is, and I've had to learn this a few times, but, you know, for a lot of us, we have a tendency to just want to fix. And, like, obviously this is something that I can't fix this, right? And so then it's like, okay, well, what's the next best thing I can fix? What else can I do to, like, help or to, you know, I'm definitely like a doer. And I think I wrote about this in a blog post like a couple years ago. I'll also link to it. But one thing I learned back then and that I need reminded of sometimes is, like, you know, don't do anything. Just be there. Just listen. Just, like, hold space for them and allow them to just cry and acknowledge the pain that they're in. Acknowledge the state that they're in, and acknowledge them without trying to do anything. And certainly there are times when things, you know, help can be had, and And hopefully, you know, the person that you're going through this with will be able to ask, or maybe you can ask and then they'll know. And there are those times for sure. But I think just, you know, being present and holding space, from what I have learned, is just as important as making sure that there's like groceries in the fridge, for example.
Yes. And I just want to say, since I have this opportunity, Molly, thank you for sharing your growth. You know, wow, that's awesome. Gosh, I mean, I love the way that you express that and how you know that and how you know it makes me feel good sometimes not to fix, because I'm pretty fixless and I'm feeling pretty fixless right now. So sometimes it is nice just to blubber and have somebody listen to you blubber. But I do have the opportunity right now to say, which I say often, is, you know, my family, my sister Molly, my sister Annalise, my parents, my children, my grandchildren, my friends. Without my family right now, I think I'd be pretty doomed. I'm lucky I have the family, because some people don't. I mean, I remember in 2004, 2005 being at the infusion center in Denver, and here I am coming out of the infusion center with four people by my side, and yet down there at the sidewalk is the lady that is getting in the cab. Yeah, getting in the cab. And that goes back to, you know, getting involved with the community and possibly volunteering to give the person on their way to the infusion center a lift, to participate in a ride share, to volunteer to help drive people to their appointments. It's a very simple thing. But when you see a woman at the breast cancer facility getting into a cab alone, oh, it's just not, it's something that I'll never forget. So there's so many small things that you can do, you know, and that is one thing that we can fix. So it goes both ways. And once again, just, you know, nobody beat themselves up. You're all doing the best you can. We're all in it together. And I love you all very much.
This, we were talking before we recorded, and you had mentioned, you were talking about when you see somebody in the store or on the street, or, you know, who is clear, you know, maybe they have a headscarf or no hair going through it. Can you talk a little bit about that? Because I thought it was really, really sweet. Sure.
You know, I can tell a breast cancer patient a mile away. She has on a little hat, little knit hat. She has on a scarf, a beautiful scarf. She has a face full of beautiful makeup or lipstick and highlighting those beautiful eyes, even though she doesn't have a hair on her body, or she's completely scrubbed clean, natural, looking absolutely gorgeous with no hair or a hat or a scarf. And I always make an effort to make eye contact with this person, smile at them and say, "How are you doing today?" And they will smile and say, "Oh, hanging in there," or, "Well, at least I'm at the grocery store," or, "Having a hard day, can't wait to get home." So even the smallest gestures, and it is scary when you see somebody with no hair and you know for sure that they're, you know, you can tell they're going through cancer. You know, it's scary to come up to a perfect stranger and say, "How are you?" or "You'll be okay," or "I'm thinking about you." But just do it. You're going to make someone's day. That's another thing you can fix too. A very, very, it seems small, but it's huge for the person behind the little stocking cap.
Yeah, that's very sweet. And it's a very good reminder. And, you know, we can, you know, people who aren't going through this, we, you know, rush in and rush out and we're so busy. And, you know, people who are going through this, they are slower. They aren't, you know, they don't have the energy that we have. And, you know, so to be able to slow down and just to take a moment, it only takes, you know, a few seconds, and just to take a moment to acknowledge another human and look them in the eye, I think that's really important. And I think that's important for, I mean, I feel like we don't look each other in the eye, like, you know, strangers in the eyes as much. And I think that's a really powerful thing to do, to just acknowledge and to give a smile and a how are you. So that's a really good little thing that doesn't take a lot. So that's really good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So is there anything else you want to share before your pineapple curry?
Well, first of all, go get your ingredients for the pineapple coconut tofu curry. But just thank you, Molly, for having me on. It's been awesome. I'll do this anytime. Dirties, thank you again for your generous hearts and your generous ways. You are helping me in ways that you can't even imagine. So many of you ask Molly all the time, how's your sister? How's your sister doing? And I know she's always updating, and I highly appreciate that because I love you, Dirties. Thank you all.
Okay, well, thank you for being on. I appreciate it, and I love you.
And I love you.
Okay, that was awesome. We're going to go have some lunch and heat up some curry for her, and yeah, nothing for me. I'm good. I made some hummus tacos and some butternut squash soup, and that was really yummy.
But don't worry, I'll go let her dog Disco out of the kennel now.
Disco! All right, we'll talk to you next week. Bye! Hey, thanks for listening. If you enjoy this podcast, you are going to love Plant Fueled Life, our monthly membership where we help you eat more plants and celebrate that beautiful human imperfection that we all have. You can try it out for free for 10 days by going to the show notes of this episode and clicking on free trial. You can also go to our website, cleanfooddirtygirl.com, and clicking on the banner at the top of the website, click on start free trial, and that'll get you there too. Also, if you enjoyed this episode or if you enjoy this podcast, will you do me a solid and rate and review it so that other people can find it as well? Okay, thanks so much.